At this third Advent Sunday, we would like to turn your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and we begin our reading in verse 39, and we finish our reading at verse 56. Luke 1, 39, 56. This is God's Word. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shewed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them to low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Thus far for God's reading. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, do you see that older lady? Her name is Elizabeth. She's really too old to be expecting a baby. But she is expecting the forerunner of the Messiah. Do you see that probably that young teenage girl? Her name is Mary. She's expecting the Messiah through that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Young and old, both expecting. Both are in Advent days. Both amazed about God's marvelous saving deeds in their lives. And now they are together. It must have been a special kind of fellowship that they had, and it was. When the Lord works his amazing salvation, what it does, it binds our hearts together. It binds together regardless of age. Young and old find peace and joy in the work of the Lord. Mary, a young virgin, traveled from Nazareth to a city in Judah, somewhere close to Jerusalem. And there they met each other. There the Lord wanted Mary to receive an extra confirmation of the promises that the angel already had given to her. Something very special happened there. Children, you know that, right? Something very special happened there. Not only was there this blessed fellowship that they had together, as they were together, but there, in God's marvelous grace, in that room of Elizabeth, John preached his first sermon. He leaped for joy. Why? Well, there Mary, expecting that Jesus Christ entered in that into that house of Elizabeth. And this forerunner started preaching right in the womb. The Lord had orchestrated this meeting. And it was a special meeting because it was the first time in history that messengers from both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant were meeting. The Lord Jesus would later say of John the Baptist, who preached there right in the womb, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater one than John the Baptist. That one baby, John the Baptist, was the last of the Old Testament prophets, God's representative of the Old Covenant, who would announce and prepare for the new. And the other baby, Jesus, was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, the representative of the New Covenant. He embodies the New Covenant. Philip Ryken, one of the commentators, puts it very beautifully. The visitation was not for Mary and Elizabeth only, however, but also for their sons. John was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament and the one called to announce the coming of Christ. Jesus was the Christ, the Lord of the New Covenant. So, when Mary and Elizabeth met, the covenants connected. Both sons were joined under one roof, and like the electrical contacts between two power stations, the results were explosive. There was this spontaneous outburst of exultant joy. The Old Covenant greeted the New. And this special meeting had this amazing unifying effect with amazing unifying joy. Elizabeth burst forth with joy, greeting Mary. And Mary had no other desire than praising and magnifying the Lord. And so they together celebrated God's covenant mercies, God's covenant faithfulness. Now something similar happened this morning at the table. Young and old meet each other. This covenant meal binds generations in the church together as we celebrate what? Yes, the covenant made in Jesus Christ during the Lord's Supper. And let's pray that this covenant has, and this Lord's Supper has the same kind of unifying and joyful effect, so that we burst forth in praise and adoration together, desiring to magnify the Lord for His amazing mercies. His amazing mercies secured in that covenant. So as we give thanks and reflect on this morning's Lord's Supper, I invite you to tune your heart and to tune your voice and sing along with Mary tonight. Sing along with Mary as she magnifies the Lord. Our theme is magnify the Lord. Our text is 46 through 55 of Luke 1. And we read only verse 1 at this time. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now her song can be divided in two parts. The first 5 verses and the last 4 verses. 46 through 50. What we see there is how Mary is magnifying the Lord. That's what we consider in our first point. Magnify matters. How question is answered there. The other part, the other 4 verses, is mainly we at least focus on why she's magnifying the Lord. And that's what we consider in our second point. Magnify motives, the why question. So magnify matters. I rejoice in the Lord. So come tune in with Mary tonight. Let's listen as her young voice echoes through the little house of Elizabeth. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the Lord my Savior. It's Advent in Mary's heart. Is it Advent in your heart? She's expecting the Messiah. Are you expecting the Messiah? Or is he even now in your heart? She is rejoicing over the words of Elizabeth that Elizabeth spoke to her. She just greeted her with these words, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Lord showed this by his Holy Spirit to Elizabeth. Mary didn't tell her. The mother of the Lord comes to me. That's what Elizabeth knew. And that's what Mary is also rejoicing in. That was a confirmation to her of the promises of the angel again. She is rejoicing that John is still to be born. The John who was still to be born was leaping for joy when she entered into the home. Another confirmation. She was rejoicing in the assuring words of Elizabeth that God had laid in Elizabeth's heart. She said to Mary, The Lord is going to do what he promised to you. He will take care of it. And so that's the reason why she now burst forth in this beautiful song of praise. Where does it come from? Also from what Elizabeth told her, but it begins deep down inside. It begins internally, deep in her heart. This unexpected moment brought by the Lord from eternity. This special moment, this assuring moment, this moment in which the Lord's favor was almost tangible. You could almost feel it in that little home. Her heart floods now with wonder, amazement, and adoration. My soul magnifies the Lord. What does that mean? I want to make the Lord as great as possible. Children, you know that, right? A magnifying glass, when you hold it before some small print, it suddenly becomes bigger. That's what Mary wants to do with the Lord. She knows the Lord is great. And she knows that you can make the Lord any greater than he is. But she desires to make him excel, exceed, surpass all her ideas, her own ideas, her own thoughts. She desires to think big about God. That's what true worship is. That's where true joy starts. True worship begins deep down in our hearts. It begins internally, and it desires to magnify the Lord. And it's based on God's word, on his promises. And it's intensified sometimes by the things that happen around us, such as the Lord's Supper. Such as this meeting that Mary and Elizabeth had together. It's intensified. And in those moments our hearts flow over. Flow over with joy. My soul magnifies the Lord. True worship can never be hidden. It can never be hidden. When we praise the Lord, it comes out. It's intense. It's internal. It's intense. Because she says, And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And this word rejoice means exult. In other words, I'm extremely joyful in the Lord. It is so great that it needs to come out. And for Mary, it meant that she started talking or singing about it. This kind of joy needs to find some channel. It needs to come out of our hearts. And it finds a way. And it's And how it finds a way depends a little bit on our personality. But it's going to be visible. It's intense. It's intense. And it's also intensely scriptural. Mary's joy was based on the Bible, on God's word, on his promises. At this special moment, she bursts out in song. It's full of the Old Testament. Full of the Old Testament. That same commentator, Ryken, puts it like this. Her song, which is often called the Magnificat, she's quoting and alluding to verses from Genesis, from Deuteronomy, 1 and 2 Samuel, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And Mary knew her Bible. Mary tried to put virtually the whole Bible into her song. Now, that doesn't happen, of course, when we are not familiar with the scriptures. Mary must have been a very godly young girl who loved God's word, who treasured God's promises. So young people, here's some question for you, some lesson for you. Are you like that? Are you like that? What are you filling your minds with? And as a result, what is coming out? What is coming out that tells us what you are filling your mind with? Are you able to connect the scriptures with your life situation? Is scripture readily accessible in your mind? Does it help you when you pray, when you sing, when you desire to worship him? For Mary it was. What a lesson for us. What a model for us. Immerse yourself in the scriptures, for they testify of God and of salvation. And they are the treasure through which God speaks to you. Mary's prayer did not only start internally. It was intense, as we saw. It was also intimate. Listen to the text. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. My Savior. As we heard this morning, faith is personal. It's intimate with God, as God lives in us through faith. Here it comes to her soul, and her joy then focuses on who? Who else? The Lord. It's not just someone out there. She knows him. She knows her. It's personal. My soul, my spirit, magnify, rejoice in the only Lord God, who is my Savior. Do you know this? My Savior. Have you ever learned to say that with joy in your heart? True worship embraces God. It says, he's mine. He saves me. I belong to him. He's my Savior. And then it says, magnify the Lord with me. And the Roman Catholic Church says here that Mary was sinless, that she did not need a Savior. We all know that. That's nonsense. Mary was a sinner like any one of us. Otherwise, she wouldn't have sung this. She calls him her Lord, and she treasures the Savior. Do you feel too good to treasure this Savior? Like Mary, we will magnify the Lord because we know Him. There is this relationship between God and our soul, and that flows out of us. We heard it this morning, right? It will come out as a stream. Also when others are present. In light of what God has done, He has saved me. Me, a sinful wretch as I am. He has saved me. I want to magnify Him. He's so great. He's so high. He's so worthy. I want to have high thoughts about Him. And as we try to make Him bigger and bigger in our thoughts, what happens? Our smallness, our insignificance becomes evident to us, and we only expect blessing from Him. Mary not only rejoices here in this first part, she also reveres the Lord. And she does so in verses 48 through 50, and she does it with humility. With humility. And all God's children will do that with humility when they see the glories of their Savior. Verse 48 shows it. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call Me blessed. The amazement flows from Mary's heart, from deep inside. He looked upon Me. He looked upon Me. He regarded Me. He looks down upon Me with kindness. He is concerned about Me. He is. And He doesn't despise Me in my low estate, my lowliness, I'm just an unimportant female servant. I'm but a slave, and He is my Lord. He is my owner. He possesses me. I belong to Him. This is how she looks at herself. Not too long ago, she said this as well. You remember the words, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm Thy servant, Lord. My trust is in Thy word. Be it unto me according to Thy word." That's humility. That's humility. And here we see it again. She submits to the Lord, realizing that she is but just a servant. God's salvation, the fact that He looks upon us, humbles us. Makes us amazed. Makes us realize we are so small. We are so sinful. Yet, He looks upon me. He's concerned with me. Now, humility is not that we constantly put ourselves down, telling everyone how bad we really are, because that can just be a form of pride. True humility recognizes actually what God is doing. What God is doing in you, and you desire to ascribe everything He is doing to God. Humility embraces what God is doing. Pride only focuses on how bad we are often. But humility sees that, yes. We see that. We lament it. But we see it in light of the goodness and graciousness of God. That He blesses me. He blesses me. That's what we see in this verse. Behold, from henceforth all generations shall call Me blessed. The angel told Mary that she was highly favored. Not too long ago, Elizabeth told her, "Blessed are you among women." And now she says, that's right. The Lord has blessed me. He has blessed me. And others are going to recognize that. Mary was humble. She said things about herself. But her words are focusing on God and God alone, who He is. Is that true about our words too? She focuses on God in verses 49 through 50. Mary rejoices there and reveres the Lord. She's small in sight of the Lord. She's exulting in His greatness. She says there, 49 and 50, "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." She exalts here in God's greatness, His character. She focuses on three things in His character: His might, His majesty, and His mercy. His might. "He that is mighty has done great things to me." Now, no one of us will be expecting the Savior like Mary once did, expecting the baby. But every child of God rejoices in Christ the Savior and will say, "He has done great things for me. And therefore I am glad." The bulletin said it, right? "And give Him the glory, great things He has done." Great things. He gave His only begotten Son for me. He sacrificed, He killed Him for my sins. Great things. He assures me by His sacrament. He assures me by His promises, by His word, that He loves me. Great things. He saves me to the uttermost when I come to Him with my empty hands, with my sin, and with my shame. He saves me to the uttermost. Great things. And yes, He gives me eternal life. Great things. God's might has done great things for me. I don't deserve them at all. He does them nevertheless. His might, His mercy, His majesty. She says, "And holy is His name." There's no one like Him. He is gloriously unique. He is full of majesty. He's holy. 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 He's above and beyond what we can comprehend with our tiny minds and hearts. Anyone and anything else in life is smaller. He's full of majestic holiness. And if that's the only thing we know, it would threaten us. It would kill us instantly when He sees us in our sin. That's how holy He is. He's holy. His name is holy. He is separate from anything else, anyone else. He's incomprehensible. He's incomparable. He's majestic. He's glorious. That's who God is. "My soul magnifies the Lord my Savior." His might, His mercy, majesty, His mercy. She sings about His mercy. "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." Mary rejoices and trusts in God, who continues to look down in mercy, in covenant faithfulness to the following generations. Parents, what a promise. The Lord continues in mercy to look down on the next generation. That's what we see in the Lord's Supper this morning too. That's what we rejoice in. When the Lord brings new ones to the table, young ones to the table. When we see His faithfulness on display, When the next generation will fear the Lord with awe of God's mercy, His kindness on those who are in miserable need outside of Jesus Christ. He's faithful. He keeps His covenant. He did so when He gave us the Lord's Supper the first time. This is the New Testament, the New Covenant in my blood. What does it mean? I died so that you may live. I died so that you may live eternally for me, with me, in glory. Because I keep that covenant from my side. Because if you have to keep it, you will miserably fail. I'm holy, you know. You know that. Trust my blood. I'm merciful. I'm merciful. I look with compassion on the generations who are in awe and wonder and amazement about my salvation. Mary invites us tonight to sing along. She's saying to us, magnify the Lord with me. Are you tuning in with Mary tonight? As you reflect on the Lord's Supper, as she sings, my soul does magnify the Lord and rejoices in God my Savior. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you full of reverence and awe of God's salvation for great things He has done? Does it come from the depth of your being? Does it overflow with treasured Bible verses that you treasure God's Word? Does it focus your attention on God's greatness? That it humbles you. He looks down on me. Does it focus on God's great and mighty deeds, His awesome holy majesty, and His ongoing faithfulness, His faithful mercy? Those are matters to magnify the Lord. Those are the hows. Magnify the Lord really matters. You know, when worship starts to focus on ourselves, it's going to stifle our joy. It's going to stifle our thankfulness. It's going to stifle our assurance. When it's all about me, my. It's so easy for our proud self-righteousness to tune in and sing the major part. But tonight we are invited to sing low about ourselves, and high and great and big and beautiful about our Savior. Magnifying motives. In the next four verses, 51 through 55 of Mary's song, she explains why she rejoices in God her Savior. She explains the motives to magnify the Lord. She sings about how salvation really turns things upside down. It's contrary to our expectation. It reverses things. And then she also rejoices because salvation is based on God who remembers His covenant. We will look into that a little deeper with her words. So, reversal first, and then remembrance. The Lord's reversal. Verse 51, her song focuses on God's mighty arm. He has shown strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. What is Mary thinking of here? Mary's thinking back of the Old Testament. How often the Lord has scattered the proud. For instance, in the Exodus, where God did wonderful things. He led Israel, and what does it say again and again? how God leads people out of bondage. He does it with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, a symbol of his power. When God saves his people, there is not only salvation taking place, but there is also something taking place on the other side of the fence, so to say. Remember what happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians? They were scattered with his mighty arm. Why? Well, they were proud. They thought their thoughts, their imaginations were full of themselves. Think back of the flood. God looked upon the earth and he saw the imaginations of the heart and the people, that they were evil continually. What does the Lord do? He sees it. He not only scatters, but he destroys them with his mighty arm. Think back of Babel. We are going to build a great tower for ourselves. We will be like God. But God's hand comes and scatters them all over the world. And the tower by a building stops. Here's the lesson that makes Mary sing. Those who are proud are not considered in the Lord's eye as high and are not useful for God's service. Proud people are full of their own accomplishments. Those of us who did not partake this morning, and you know you don't belong there. Why is that? Why is that? Because deep down in your heart, you are full of yourself and your pride. You think you don't need Jesus Christ. He's freely offered to you again and again and again. And you say, my sins are pleasant. Unbelief is good. You know, the Lord saves nobodies. He saves humble people. And when he saves proud people, he first humbles them. When you ask tonight before the Lord, am I proud? Do you ask that question sometimes? How do you know? Here's the answer. Can you tune in with Mary in magnifying the Lord? What she did in these preceding verses, and even in these verses here, right here, about scattering the enemy. Mary sings a song that is not about her. It's all about God. I know. Pride is a slow dying monster in our hearts. But are you killing it? Are you killing it? Because it's so wicked. And God hates it. And God will judge it. If it continues in our hearts. We don't need to look around. We don't need to judge others. That's God's work. He does a much better job than we do. Let's ask this question tonight to ourselves. Am I proud? And then pray, Lord, show me. Deliver me. Because Mary says here in 52 verse 52a, he has put down the mighty from their seats. That's what will happen to the proud. Can you see it before you? A king in those days, a mighty king, an exalted person on earth, a proud person. People would look up against that person, to such a person, rather. They were carried around in their thrones by their servants. They were carried around in special thrones, and everyone, wow. Pomp, show. You know what God will do? God will bare his mighty arm and say, come down, you. Pull that mighty, proud person off his throne. That's the picture here. What else will he do to proud persons? Verse 53b, the rich he will send empty away. Go away without anything. Our world looks in adoration to those who are proud, to those who make a fair show, the mighty, the rich. Is that what you look to, young people? Is that what you admire? And you think that when God's people pink away a tear at the Lord's Supper, that they are poor and miserable? Oh no, oh no. God is not impressed with proud people of this world unless they learn humility. Those who are rich in their own eyes, who have it all, they will be sent away empty. Are you listening to the music of this world, the pop stars singing along? Is that your song? You will be taken down if you continue. If you say, I'm rich, I've increased with goods, I've need of nothing, as Revelation 3:17, you don't know. You don't even know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. If you can't magnify the Lord, if you can't confess his name at the table because you don't know this God, and you're only impressed with your own pride, with your own might, with your own riches, early or later, God will come with his mighty arm and pull you off your imagined throne, the throne of your life. And he will pull you, I say it with love, I warn you, he will pull you into judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands, in the mighty hand of this living God. Therefore, I plead with you, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. That's his promise. God's arm is mighty, not only to judge the proud, Mary sings about it, but to save his people. You know, from the outside, God's people might not look very impressive. But never look on the outward show. Because God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. And Mary sings, he exalts those of low degree. And he fills them to overflowing. The hungry with good things. Has he filled you this morning, child of God? Do you know why that was? Because you had nothing to bring, only your sin. Has he with his mighty arm pulled you close, pulling you into his bosom this morning so that you can sing? Has he tenderly spoken to your soul this morning about his love? Did he invite you into the banqueting house this morning and show there? Look at that banner there, over there. Love. I love you. Did your soul feast on salvation that is finished in Jesus Christ? His love is eternal. Eternal love, despite my sin, my heinous sin. Did he say to your soul, I have loved you with an eternal, everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. Did you sit with Christ in heavenly places? If that's the case, magnify the Lord. Rejoice in God, your Savior. It's only because the Lord looks on favor to those who have nothing to offer Him. Those of humble and low degree. And the Lord reverses their expectations, your expectations, because you think the Lord is going to judge me because of my sins. And then the Lord says, no, no, no. You humble yourself under my mighty hand. I will turn it upside down. I will tell to you, I love you. Because I remember my covenant. I remember my covenant. That's the second thing here in that second part of this song. This morning we were called to remember God's covenant mercies in Jesus Christ at the table. But the Lord remembers too. We remembered by looking back to see what he did for us at Golgotha, that shameful death on the cross. He for me, he the curse, I the cup of blessing, I the salvation, that blessed exchange. He turns things upside down. He takes the blow for my sins where I was expecting that blow. And I, that wretched sinner, now receive the benefits. Here's the cup for you. The cup of my salvation, the cup of my favor. Drink, rejoice, magnify me. That's what we do at the table. We remember. And we remember he's going to come. He's promised. And he is going to put that cup forever into our hands, because he has promised that he will be there with us, drinking it new in the kingdom of heaven. That cup that you hold this morning was a promise. New in the kingdom of heaven, with you, with me. Then you're rich. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us bless his name together. We remember. But even more glorious, he remembers. He remembers. 54 and 55, he hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abram and to his seed forever. You see that? He remembers. God helps his people. God saves his people. He has promised it. It's based on his mercy, his covenant faithfulness. That's why he sent his son. That's why the pregnant Mary could sing about nothing else, about God. He saves. She was expecting God's covenant mercies to be fulfilled in that baby, her Messiah, her Savior, her son, no, God's son. Because God remembers. God remembers his covenant promise to Abram and his seed forever, she says. Now, what was the covenant promise with Abram all about? Do you remember? Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield in thy exceeding great reward, I protect you. I'm your protection. I'm going to reward you with myself. What did Abram do? Abram believed God. Abram believed God. Abram believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Righteousness was accredited to his account. The righteousness of Jesus Christ became his. Faith, righteousness becomes mine. That's what the covenant is all about. And remember how this covenant was made with Abraham? How it was made? It was cut. Pieces of animals on both sides. And Abraham was chasing them away, thinking that he needed to keep it. But he couldn't. Pieces of dead animals. And then when Abram sleeps, when he couldn't do anything, God comes in the midst of the night with as a fiery oven and goes through on his own. I keep the covenant from my side. When you, Abram, when you, believer, break the covenant with your sins, I keep that covenant from my side. And I will restore that relationship with you. I swear it by myself. When that covenant is broken, I will become like one of those dead animals cut into pieces. Do you hear how this covenant spells the precious name of Jesus Christ on Golgotha's cross? And when you take a sip of that cup at the Lord's Supper, that's because God remembers his covenant mercies, which have ever been of old, and you drink of his mercy at the Lord's Supper, because he keeps remembering his covenant again and again and again. Precious Lord Jesus, cut in pieces to restore that relationship that was broken, to restore the relationship with God. What else did the covenant with Abram teach us? We all know that Abram wanted a son very badly. And God said, I'm going to give you Isaac one day. But the covenant of Abram points to a greater reality. I'm going to give you a greater Isaac one day. The seed in whom all the nations of this earth will be blessed. Jesus Christ, that's the Son. Are you blessed in him? He's the only blessing there is. When he was born in Bethlehem, after long waiting, Abram waited long. He thought, it's not going to happen. Maybe you have been waiting long. This Son. Wait for this Son. With expectation, because when God promises, he is going to do it. He's going to do it. Don't doubt God's word. That's dishonoring God. What else do we learn from the covenant of Abraham? Circumcision. Children set apart by circumcision. Blood flowed. Straight line to Golgotha. He died for sinners. What else did God promise? There will be a seed as numerous as the stars of heaven. And there will be Canaan. There will be a country to live in. There will be a seed, a next generation to fear the Lord, which will serve Him. There will be a seed from east and west, from all places, from all nations, from all tongues, from all tribes, to praise Him, to magnify Him. They will be innumerable. They will praise Him forever. There will be a seed. And there will be a country. There will be a country to live in forever and ever. A world on which righteousness dwells, where there is no sin, no death, no harm, no evil, no wickedness. Where God will be all and in all, a new heavens, a new earth. Behold, I create something new. Ear has not heard, eye has not seen what God has prepared for those that fear Him. It's in Christ that He fulfills the covenant mercies to Abraham. That's what we celebrated this morning at the table. That's what Mary sings about. That's the reason for us to magnify the Lord. Child of God, let's never, never, ever overlook that He remembers His covenant forever. That's what can make you sing. He will remember it to all eternity. Even when our memory is gone, when we lose it, He remembers it. Even when sin and suffering and darkness sometimes seem to cloud everything, and we don't see it. If you're His, He holds on to you. He holds on to you when you cannot hold on to Him. He remembers it. He remembers His covenant forever. What an amazing faithfulness. What undeserved mercy. He displays it in Jesus Christ. So Mary calls us to magnify the Lord and rejoice in the Lord our Savior. The question is, has He by grace already become your Savior? Or are you still in proud rebellion? In whatever form it might take, however humble you appear, or want to appear. If you don't listen, you are proud. But know that His mighty arm is still stretched out in mercy. Romans 10 says it, that God all day long is stretching forth His hands into an obedient and gainsaying people. People who say, no, 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 no. Disobedient. I think I have a better plan for my life. Don't want to keep Thy commandments. And to such people say, God says tonight, come, hide in My arms, the arms of the only Savior. Don't be rebellious. Don't oppose Me. Don't speak against Me. Don't be proud. Your damnation will be eternal if you do, if you continue to resist His outstretched arms of love. Of love for you who don't deserve it. Child of God, do you realize again how your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is surpassing all your expectations? Every expectation. That He therefore deserves your humble adoration because He died. He doesn't ask and require from you what you can't give anymore. No, what He does for you is He restores it in you. He restores what He didn't take away, what we took away. He restores the misery that we plunged ourselves in. And He reverses our expectations over and over. And He takes all the responsibility for the covenant upon Himself. So that then you can go forward in His strength, in His power, in His Spirit. As you remember, He has remembered it for me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, Psalm 34, verse 3 says, and let us exalt His name together. Let us exalt His name together. Let's conclude as we have listened to this masterpiece, musical masterpiece, don't you think? Inspired by God's Holy Spirit. As it teaches us how we are to magnify God and why we are to magnify God. Now the tune is very simple, don't you think? The tune is very simple. It's woven together with one precious name. And that name is Jesus Christ. And when you and I start singing, we soon discover that all the parts of Scripture flow together in glorious harmony. There's harmony here. Beautiful harmony. Old and new come together. Just as old and new met with those two wombs. And this choir, God is going to take care of it. This choir will have singers. It will have singers of all ages. Because He brings old and young together. Yes, He brings all the nations together. All nations, tribes, and tongues. You know who is conducting it? This masterpiece? Maker of heaven and earth. The Savior of wretched sinners. He is conducting it. Not Mary. Not any other creature. If you think you are conducting it, you're wrong. He will conduct it. He will direct it. And there will be a glorious crescendo at the end. A glorious crescendo. Men and angels will sing the most harmonious song. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit. In the highest. Because He made peace on earth. On this new earth. In this new heavens. Glory to God. He favored me. He looked down upon me. And now I serve Him. Day and night before His throne. He favored me. Do you sing along? Do you sing along? Will you say, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior because He has done mighty things for me. He exalted those who were of low degree into His bosom, into His arms, into heaven forever and ever and ever. And there, He will fill them with good things. His mercy will overflow, continue to flow, and flow even more when His rivers of grace, when the tree of life is there and you eat of that tree, you're healed forever. Where God shall be all and in all. If that's your prospect, then you're blessed. You're blessed indeed. Amen.